if you have children, he that have children is rich in the Lord, because God blesses us, and he blesses us many times through our kids, through our children. And so we are blessed here at Lost Creek because we have so many awesome kids. And the fact is, they are young men and women of God. God is moving in their lives in a powerful way. Is Joe here? Is Joe here? Joe Kaiser. Okay, all right. Somebody remind me to remind him that I have something for him, okay? All right. Yes, okay. If you're here for the first time, thank you guys for coming. You know, I know you might think, well, this is not like where I was. This is not like the church I was raised in. Join the club. It's nothing at all like I was raised in. And just because it's not like what you're used to doesn't mean that it's bad. That just means God wants to do something new in you. Amen? So turn to somebody and say, new in you. That's not what I'm really going to talk about today. So if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Luke, one of the most powerful stories in the New Testament. And I'm going to be reading a little bit from the translation, the Passion Translation. And then I'll be reading, I've got the New King James too, but the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. If you're there, say amen. If you don't have a Bible, you need one. Okay? Yes. Amen. Okay. Is everybody there? Amen. The 13th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke was a physician. How many knows that Luke was a doctor? And a lot of his encounters, a lot of his experiences with following Jesus was, again, a lot of the stories in the book of Luke are about the powerful presence of Jesus healing and ministering to people. He writes Jesus as compassionate and a healing Savior. And so, you know, Matthew writes a different perspective, although miracles of Matthew. Mark writes a different perspective, although they're, a lot of the stories coincide. They're the same stories, but he writes it from a different viewpoint. And then John writes it from a different viewpoint, although they're all miracles. The New Testament is full of miracles. Well, you know what? God is still a God of miracles. How many knows he's still a God of miracles? So if amen, that's all right. It's all right to give God praise. So if you're here today and you need a miracle from God, on the other side of your faith is the miracle that you need from the Lord. The breakthrough is on the other side of your faith today. You're believing that God can do anything. God can do anything. So today we read a powerful story in the book of Luke, chapter 13. All the stories. This comes after the parable of the barren fig tree. And the story of the woman with a spirit of infirmity. And, I want you to think about this. There's a powerful thing. Not a lot of, you know, miracles that Jesus performed happen inside of a synagogue or a temple or a place of worship. But in this particular story, we have Jesus in the synagogue teaching. Amen. He was teaching out of the Torah, out of the Word of God, out of the Old Testament. And Jesus was teaching. It's a powerful thing when Jesus is in our midst teaching us. Do you know that Jesus has been teaching us this morning? How many has been listening to him? Amen. Everybody got your ears on? Everybody got your ears on? Okay, let me call all of our friends who are out there in Wonderland right now to come back, because God wants to share and pour something powerful into your spirit today that is amazing, incredible. And the same Jesus that we find in the book of Luke chapter 13 is the same Jesus that's here today. Amen. He's the same Jesus today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His power doesn't change. His presence doesn't change. And when Jesus rolls into a place, the atmosphere of where he at changes. Amen. Because, listen, we can have a lot of things. We can go through the motions. We can have orchestras. We can have, you know, lights and praise music. And we can have all these things. But if Jesus doesn't show up, how many knows that really it's sort of like just going through the motion? But when Jesus shows up and he rides in the town, things happen. When Jesus came to the synagogue that day, the Bible said something was in the wind. Something powerful was about to happen. And you've got to understand that the atmosphere of that place of worship, the atmosphere of that place of worship, the synagogue, suddenly changed because Jesus was there. Jesus is here today. Amen. He didn't just show up because, listen, he's here to entertain us or to say something to make us happy. Jesus is here because he wants to change some people's lives. Amen. How do I know that he's here and he wants to change somebody's life? Come with me. I'm not going to embarrass you. Come here. How do I know that Jesus is here and that he's going to change lives? Because he's already here. He's already been doing the work of grace. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to get a hold of this. You need to get a hold of this. I'm so proud of you, young lady. I am so proud of this young lady. How many knows it took courage to come forward and said, I need to surrender my life to Jesus? You know what? No man can come to the Father except the Father has sent me draw him. There is something in this room. There's someone available in this room. And there's an atmosphere that's been changed by the presence of God, because God wants to do something supernatural. What you saw there is one of the greatest acts of supernatural power that we have in scripture or knowledge. It's even greater than seeing somebody physically get out of the dead, because they're going to die again. But this lady just got up out of her grave and she's going to live forever in the presence of God. Jesus is here because the atmosphere in the synagogue that day changed. You can imagine the anticipation, the excitement, the enthusiasm, the expectancy that was in that room, because there was a multitude of people. Yes, there was a regular church folk that came to church. There was the leaders of the synagogue that were there, but there was a multitude that came there. And this woman that came to Jesus that day, she was there, and she may have been a regular attendee of this particular synagogue, but something in her life was going to change. Something in her life was going to be different. Something was going to change to set her free. I'm saying today, sure, Wednesday was a powerful night because Jesus broke some chains. But let me tell you, we don't have to have a special event in order for Jesus to break chains, because Jesus is about breaking chains every day in your life. So here's this young, Jesus was in the synagogue and the atmosphere was changed because Jesus was there. And suddenly there was an excitement because Jesus was there. That's what excites me. You know, I'm excited to see you all here today. And you know what? You're a blessing from the Lord. You all made my day. I tell people that and they look at me and say, you know, you're being nice. But no, you made my day. It's awesome to see you guys here worshiping the Lord, getting your worship on, connecting to a power that's greater than you. It's awesome to see people come and lay their burdens down. But I'm excited today because I'm anticipating and expecting a mighty move of God, the presence of God, to break somebody free, to loose somebody and let them go, amen, so they can be free to walk in the purpose and plan of God. That's what I'm excited about. I'm excited about you being here, yes. But I'm excited about Jesus being here. Because if you take Jesus' presence from here, we might as well just be, listen, somewhere else just hanging out. But this atmosphere makes it different. How many knows that this atmosphere makes it different? Listen, there's a lot of places you go across this land today and worship God. And I'm not being disrespectful, and I'm not I'm not being critical of particular places and or people that are worshiping. But just because we have a sign that says worship service at 11 doesn't mean that we're about that. Because how many knows the presence of the Lord has got to be present before something can happen and before something can change? So Jenny, this was different because Jesus was here. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus is here. You get that, Dakota? Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And the atmosphere changes when Jesus is here. So the 13th chapter, and I'm going to read it from the Passion. And if somebody can, yeah, yes, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for that water. So let's read this together. And verse 10, on the Sabbath day, while Jesus was teaching in the Jewish meeting house, he encountered a seriously handicapped woman. She was crippled and had been doubled over for 18 years. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. You know, that's not standing for me. That's respect for God's word. But if you can't, that's all right. We're not going to be religious about it, okay? So she was crippled and had been doubled over for 18 years. She had been crippled for 18 years. How many knows that's a long time go in trouble and pain? That's a long time to suffer. 18 years is a long time. Everybody say a long time. Listen, you've been living a life bound up for too long. Amen. You've been struggling too long. Too long. Today is your day of freedom. Today is the day that Jesus says you can go free. Today is the day Jesus is saying to you, be loosed, amen, and walk in that freedom. So she was bound for 18 years, and that's a long time to go in trouble and in the condition that she was in. Her condition was caused by a demonic spirit of bondage that had left her unable to stand up straight. Bent over and stooped over, she could just walk like this. That's the way she walked. Everywhere she went, she walked that way. She couldn't see anybody upright. She couldn't see somebody directly in the eye. If she looked at somebody, she had to look out of the corner of her eyes, unless somebody got down on the ground and looked up at her. This woman was bent over. She was stooped over. And she could in no wise straighten up because she had a spirit of an infirmity. There's a lot of sicknesses and disease in the Bible that Jesus healed. Listen, there were a lot of diseases that Jesus healed. But for some reason, Jesus called this out and said it was a spirit of an infirmity. Not every sickness that you encounter is demonic, okay? A lot of the sicknesses that people go through, it's just because we live in a fallen world. How many know that? And disease and health issues are part of a fallen world. Because you're sick doesn't mean you've got a demon messing around with you, okay? It just means you're sick. But you know what? Jesus is the God that heals all of our diseases. Amen. By His stripes, you are healed. Amen. So let me finish this. When Jesus saw her condition, he called her over and gently laid his hands upon her. Then he said, dear woman, you are free. That's all he did. He walked up to her and says, you are free. He laid his hands on her. And in the King James, it says, you are loosed, woman. I set you free. Think about that. The touch of Jesus set this woman free. He looked at her and declared that powerful word over her life. Dear woman, you're free. I release you forever from this crippling spirit. How many knows that what Jesus sets us free from, we don't have to ever be overcome again by that same spirit. Amen? You don't have to struggle the rest of your life
with the same spirit that's had you down and bound. Jesus today has come to set you free and loose you so you can walk in powerful freedom. Because free people.
Free people.
Free people. Free people. How many knows? In order to set people free, you've got to be free yourself. And Jesus said in John, whom the Son has set free, he is free indeed. Everybody shout free indeed. And instantly, everybody say instantly, she stood up straight and tall and she overflowed. Wow, I love that verse. She overflowed with glorious praise to God. You may be seated. Glorious praise to God. God set her free. Listen, I know some of you don't understand why people jump around and, you know, act the way we act. And some people look at me like, well, you know, that's crazy old Mr. R, you know. That's just the way he acts. He's a little senile, you know. You got to overlook him. But listen, if you've been where I've been and you've been set free from what I've been set free, you have a reason to praise God too. Amen. Because if you have been truly set free, if you've truly been set free, you are free indeed. Amen. You are free indeed. If you've been set free by the power of Jesus, you are free. Didn't mean to scare you, Rick. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that to people here that's new, okay? You got to be here a little while before I do that. I got to get to know you. But I'm serious, Jody. You got a reason to praise him. You got a reason to get up in the morning and praise him. You got a reason throughout the week to praise him. Because you were bound, but now you've been set free. You've been loosed, amen. No more shackles, no more chains, amen. You've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. By the cross of Christ, he broke the chains. He broke the chains. So Jesus today is here today to break your chains. And the Bible said the Jewish leaders who was there in charge of the meeting house, he was infuriated. He was mad because Jesus messed up his religious party. Here's Jesus again. He's messing up what we're trying to do. We're trying to have church here. And Jesus has come in here and he's messed everything up. Amen. We're just trying to have church. We're just trying to praise. We're just trying to sing. We're just trying to show our talents. We're just trying to do this, do that. And here Jesus comes and he messes everything up. How many knows that Jesus, if you let him, will rock your world and turn you upside down. He'll set you free. He'll set your heart free so you can praise the one who loves you. So today, think about this. The religious people were mad because of Jesus' healing on the Sabbath day. 6 days you're to work, he shouted angrily to the crowd. Those are the days you should come here for healing, but not on the seventh day. I like it. Why shouldn't Jesus, if Jesus is going to heal, why shouldn't he heal on the Sabbath day? Jesus knew the Torah. He knew the word. He knew what the word said. And he wasn't making a dispute with this religious leader. He wasn't debating with him. He told him and reminded him, listen, I know what the scripture says. And also in the book of Exodus chapter 31, I know what it says in the Torah, that you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath and you're supposed to keep it holy. But doesn't the Torah also teach you, Jesus said, I love it, love it, I love it. Doesn't it also teach that if you get your ox in a ditch, that you should get him out on the Sabbath day? Well, the man couldn't say anything because that's what the word says. That's what the Torah said. But let me tell you, Jesus was pointing to something greater. Then he says, how much greater is this daughter of Abraham? How much more should she be set free and healed today, even if it is on the Sabbath? Amen. Jesus is ready to loose you today and let you go. Amen. He's willing. He's ready to loose you today and let you go. And the Lord said, "You hopeless." The Lord said to him, he called him out. Some of you all think that I get a little directive sometimes. Well, if I turn around and call you a bunch of hypocrites, most of you'd walk out of the building, okay? But this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, "You hopeless frauds, don't you care for your animals on the Sabbath? Untying your ox and donkey from the stall and leading it away to water? If you do this for your animals, what's wrong with allowing this beloved daughter of Abraham, who has been bound by Satan for 18 long years, to be untied and free on the Sabbath day?" And when they all heard this, this is the rest of the crowd, the multitude that was anticipating, exciting, expecting there. When they heard this, his critics were completely humiliated. They were shamed. The King James says they were ashamed of what they said. Because there was power and authority in the words that Jesus spoke with. Never a man ever spake like this man. When he spoke a word, it was directive. It was to the point. It was to the heart. He didn't speak superficially over your life. When he looked at you, his eyes stared and peered down into the deepest part of your soul. And his word broke open, amen, and broke loose so that person could come free. The words of Jesus were no mere words. Never a man ever spake like this man. Don't they say that even the winds and the waves are under his authority? They obey his word. And if Jesus can speak to the wind and the waves, to the storms in our life, to the natural storms on the earth, then Jesus can speak to the storms in our life. He can speak to the situations in our life, and he can loose us and set us free. And when they heard this, the crowd shouted with joy over the glorious things that Jesus was doing among them. Somebody said, "I don't believe in shouting in the church." Wow, you're going to the wrong place. Heaven is going to be a lot of shouting, my friend. There's going to be a lot of shouting in heaven. Amen. Think about that. A lot of people are going to be rejoicing in heaven. A lot of people. It's a rejoicing place. It's a joyful place. No more pain. No more sorrow. Listen, no more death. No more shackles. No more chains. No more struggles. Because we're going to be with Christ forever and ever in his presence. We'll have freedom to go in and out of the city. We won't need a sun anymore. Because the Son of God will be the light unto that city. Amen. And Jesus himself will be there. Amen. That's something to get excited about. If they don't fire you up, your wood's wet. That will fire you up. That'll fire your engine. That'll stoke your fire this morning. To know that Jesus has come to set us free. Jesus truly has come to set us free. This woman today reminds us. How many times during those 18 years did she say, someday it might be different? How many people do I look at every day in the Walmart? I tell them about the Lord, tell them what God can do in their life. Well, someday I'll do that. I ask people to come to church a lot of times to worship and to experience God and to be a part of this. And some of them look at me and say, someday I will, Pastor. But you know, there's an individual here today, and I won't call names. There's an individual here in this room today that told me someday a lot of times. But by grace and by God's goodness, he is here today. Amen. His someday is today. Your someday is today. Your miracle is today. It's not tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Let me share this other scripture as we're, God just changed everything around. I'm just going to wind it down. A lot of stuff here, but I'm going to. 2 Corinthians 6:2. This is what Paul says. in the Passion Version. He says, I listened to you at a time of my favor. I listened to you at the time of my favor. And the day when you needed salvation, I came to your aid. Ooh, boy, I like that. The day you needed me, I came to your aid. The day you were struggling, the worst day of your life, the day you thought someday, and in your darkness and in your pain and your affliction and in your infirmity and in your bondage, I came to you because you called out to me. I came to you in your need. Amen. How many knows that the Lord is here to come to our aid? Amen. He's here to lift you up, to bring you out, to break through. The spirit of the breaker goes before you. Micah 2. The spirit of the breaker goes before us. God is breaking open graves. He's breaking chains. He's telling people to come out. And listen, the greatest move you will ever witness is a day in front of you. And that's why you've got to be powerfully connected to what God is doing. Because today is the day of salvation. Everybody say, today is the day of salvation. The Lord's here today for you. For you here today. Woo, man. I wish I could run right now. I would run. If I wouldn't scare some of you about half out of your shoes, I'd just take off running like a big racehorse right now. Because Jesus is here and he's come to our aid. Salvation has come. It's not going to come. Salvation has come. The Orthodox Jews still looking for the Messiah. They still go to the Wailing Wall. And they do this every day. They stick prayers in the Wailing Wall. They're praying for the Messiah to come. Listen, Messiah has come. Amen. Your salvation has come. Your day has come. This is your day. Turn to somebody and say, this is my day. I'm going to come down and see if you all really do that. This is my day. Look at him. You've looked at him a lot. This is my day. Can you believe that this is your day, Kim? There was a day in your life that you believed that this was your day. When you were bound by alcohol and drugs and all kinds of other craziness like we all have been. But there was a day that you believed different. You believed because your salvation had come. Your salvation has come. He's here today. He's a God of the present. He's a God of the present. His salvation is here. Why is he here? This may have been the scriptures that Jesus read. This may have been the scriptures that Jesus read. I know he read it in the time that he read this in the book of Luke chapter 4. But this is what Jesus' proclamation was. This is what Jesus declared. This was his ministry. This is what he was about. And he came to Nazareth. Luke chapter 4 verse 16. He came. And he had been brought up, and as he was accustomed to, he went into the synagogue again on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read the Shema. He stood up to read and declare the word of God to the people. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And as he opened the book of Isaiah, he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. These are the words of Jesus. I love it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me. He has anointed me. Christa, he has anointed me. The anointing of the Holy Ghost in full measure was upon Christ. He has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. Oh, why do you have these homeless ministries? Why do you reach out to people? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Because Jesus did it, friend. Jesus did it. If Jesus did it, that means you're supposed to do it. Amen. Quit playing church. Quit going through the motions. Get it in gear. Get it in gear. Some of you are stuck in gear. You're grinding in gear. Because the Lord has come and He sent me, Jesus said. He sent me to preach to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Wow. Isn't that a descriptive of a real Jesus-centered ministry? He sent us to preach to the poor. Not just the poor in physical means, but the poor in spirit. The poor, the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty. Everybody say liberty. Liberty for the captives. Liberty to the captives. And recovery of the sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed by the enemy. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all that were there looked at him, fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, everybody shout today. Oh, there is something awesome about today. I know that some of you are going to be, listen, you're going to be getting rid of the Franks by the scores in a minute, the dogs. You're going to be taking them down. But that's not the today that I'm talking about. Yes, we're going to go up to the water to baptize people who have been set free from their sin as a testimony to the world that Jesus is alive, alive, alive. Amen. But this is another day. This is today. Today, God's going to do something in somebody's life today. Why can't it be me? Why can't it be now? Why can't it be this place? Because your Sunday is today. I don't want anybody to leave out this building and say, someday I will. Someday, Mr. R, that makes sense. Someday I'll do that. But today, is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing? Today is the scripture fulfilled in your hearing. Oh man, Lord, help people. Wake people up, Lord Jesus. Wake them up. I'm going to bother you again, sweetie. I'm sorry. I don't. But today is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Today, today, today is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Out of his coffin and shout hallelujah. Amen. So proud of you. You're a good sport. She's a good sport. Today, salvation has come. Salvation has come. Today is the day of salvation. Psalm 95. Harden not your hearts as they did in the day of provocation. But today, it's your day of salvation. As God reaches out to you today and He calls you, then you respond and you come because your day has come. Today, that day in the temple, the synagogue, that woman's day had come. And these people, religious people, had probably been accustomed to every day coming in and giving her a special place because she probably came there often. But Jesus reached down below what religion could not reach and said, today is going to be different in her life because I have come to set her free. She was crippled. She was crippled. She was bent over. Oh, bent over. She was stooped over, bent over, stooped over. Some of you in this room are bent and stooped over by your pain. You're going through pain. You've been going through pain a lot of your life. Pain from past relationships, pain from abuse, pain from sicknesses, pain from rejection, pain from betrayal, pain from divorce, pain from, listen, a troubled home, pain. But today, Jesus has come to straighten you up and get you out, amen, and make your day. She was crippled maybe by her addiction. Some of you here today are crippled by your addiction. You can't walk in the full potential of God because you're partially or totally unable to do that. And that's what the definition of a cripple is. Someone who is partially or totally unable to use one or more limbs. Disabled or impaired in any way. Impaired or flawed. That's what the word cripple means. To disable, impair, or weaken. And this woman was truly a picture of that. But she may have been crippled by her addiction. She may have been crippled by her grief. There are some of you here this morning been carrying grief in your heart from a past loved one who's passed on for years. And you can't be free because you're struggling with the grief from your pain. There are some of you here today crippled by depression, as Angel said, and God's calling that out. Because this is your today. God wants to set you free and put you on the path of recovery, put you on the path of healing, so you can be a testament to other people. I was in darkness, but now I see. I was crippled, but now I'm free. Amen. Crippled by pride. There are some of you here this morning that been crippled by your pride. Your pride holds you back. Your pride holds you back. You could be more. You could do more. But your pride holds you back. It keeps you from getting all the way in because you're weary of what people think about you. You're weary of what people think about you. There are people that will go to the grave worrying about what people think about them. Today is your day for freedom to be loosed. There are some that were crippled by hate. I hope no one in this room is crippled by hate. But there are people today in this world that have been crippled by hatred. Their everyday agenda is to get up and get even with people. To hate people. And I'm talking about hate people they don't even know. Just to hate. Because if your heart is full of hate, then that's what you're going to do. It's hate. But Jesus has come to set you free. Some of you crippled by your anger. Anger because it's spewed over from your past. You've been hurt in relationships. You've been hurt by people. You've been hurt by religion. And you're hurt and you're angry. Jesus wants to set you free. Some of you here are crippled by your fear. Paralyzed by fear. You can't press forward and do what God's called you to do because you're afraid. You're stuck to the boat. You're bound to the mast of the ship. You won't get out and walk on the water even when Jesus is calling you because you're paralyzed by your fears. But Jesus says, I'm going to set you free. Some of you are crippled by your past. Past mistakes, past failures, past sin, past transgressions. Some of you here today are crippled by sickness. Some of you are here today crippled by religion. Been crippled by religion. And 18 years is a long time to be crippled, to be drawn over in that infirmity. So many disappointments in life. So many to even count. And today was going to be different. Because if you come today believing, this can be your day. Because on the other side of your expectancy is a miracle waiting to happen. Because listen, expectancy and faith is the birth canal for the miraculous. God's getting ready to loose somebody today. I mean, really loose them and set them free so you can walk in the purpose of God. The purpose God intended you to walk in. Jesus saw her where she was. Jesus sees you where you are today. He sees you. He saw you before you saw him. He sees you. He sees where you are. I mean, we hide, don't we? We hide behind facades. But Jesus really sees who we are. He sees where we are. We can hide behind this or that, but Jesus sees. He sees to the core of the matter, where the hurt or where the pain really is. Jesus looks deep inside you. He sees you. He sees you. Turn to somebody and say, he sees me. I heard somebody tell me this morning, well, where can you run? If God's in pursuit, where can you run? How many knows he's in the Smokies? How many knows he's in Disneyland? How many knows he's on the ball field? How many knows he's everywhere? He's everywhere, and you can't escape him. Where could I go, David said, to flee from him? I can't. He sees me because he sees me. He sees me where I am. And after Jesus saw her, he did this. This is what he's doing right now, Miss Kathy. He calls her. He calls her. Think about that. Some of you go all day long waiting for your special honey to call you. You'll walk the floor. You'll hold your cell phone. And the King of Glory is calling your name today. You didn't hear me. I said the King of Glory is calling Roman, 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 Roman today. And he didn't call a number like the Social Security Department does. He calls you by your name. He knows you by your name. He's calling your name today. Josh. Remember the day he called you, Josh? Like no other call, right? Remember that day, Roy? He called you. Like no other day, he called you. When that special person calls you, you know, you love, you'll get on the text, you'll text your best friend and say, guess who called me? Guess who called me? Guess who called me? Guess who texted me? Guess who texted me? But Jesus is calling you today. Jesus is calling your day. And your day is getting ready to change, because today he's going to loose you and set you free. He's going to loose you and set you free. And then you've got something to write home about. Then you've got something to get on the phone about and say, guess what happened to me today? I was bound, but now I'm free. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was crippled, but now I'm whole. Do you believe that today? And this is what Jesus did. Closing right here. He looked at her and he called her. Says, come up here to me. That was probably a difficult journey. But she stumbled. She stooped all the way to the front. And she came close to Jesus. Jesus said, woman, you're loosed. And he put his hands on her. And instantly, she stood upright. And she began to praise and glorify the Lord. Amen. You want to know why some of our little kids are running around here, they're remnanting and crying and praying over people, listen, and shouting to God up here dancing, and we got religious people criticizing because of what they're doing? Listen, if you've really been set free from something, then you understand why people sometimes it just got to say, excuse me, I've got to get my praise on because I was bound, but now I'm free. Was bound, but now I'm free. reason to praise him, friend. The greatest reason you've got to praise him. Loose him. Loose her. Let him her be free. Jesus is saying, today you're free. I'm going to loose you and set you free. You got to respond to this call today. God's calling you. He's calling you today. And of course, when the crowd saw that, they got excited. That's why I say, when people come to the altar and pray and they give their life to Jesus, that's the greatest moment in somebody's life. And I don't understand why people are checking their watches and saying, man, where I gotta go here? I gotta get. Oh, somebody just met. Heaven just met earth. Amen. Divinity just met humanity. Somebody's chains just fell off. The devil was defeated at that moment at the cross. And now, when somebody's been set free, I've got a reason to rejoice. I've got a reason to praise him. Today, what are you bound by? What's holding you? There could be a spirit behind what's holding you. And it could be just your own fears, your own inadequacies, your own pride, your own whatever that might be. But today, Jesus says, I'm going to set you free. Jesus started this service in a powerful way today. This young lady, whom I hope I didn't embarrass twice, I brought her up here. Kevin, you know why? Because my heart sings today, sweetie. My heart sings because today you are free. And I could see that on your face the moment you touched Jesus. Amen. I could see something change. Listen, something will change when you come in contact with Jesus. Something's got to give, Roy. Something's got to give. And it's not you pressing through the line at J.I. Burton, knocking everybody in their path down. But something's got to give when the Lord reaches out and touches you today and says, be loosed. She started. God started with this young lady, but this room is full of people today that need to be free. And I believe the greatest day in the life of the church, the ministry of the church, and this ministry at Lost Creek, I'm saying this to you today. There'll be a day. There's a day coming. You can write it down, Rick, right here. This day. There's a day coming when there'll be so many to come in that we'll be overwhelmed by the ministry of reaching to people. The lines, there'll be people in lines coming to find Jesus. The day's coming when we'll have long sessions of baptismal services where we'll even go into the evening baptizing people who have been set free by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? I believe that. I wasn't telling you a little fairy tale. I believe that. That's coming. That's coming. I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. Don't you? If you do, quit playing church. Loose him and let him go. Loose her and let her go. I command you, loose him to let him go. Loose her and let her go. In the name of Jesus, I declare a freedom over you. Set free from your captivity. Loose, 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 loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. I feel that unction. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The people here now, the Lord's word to you, loose him. And the Lord's going to touch you. You're going to be like this young lady here today. When the Lord touches you, your life will never be the same. If you're here today and you're bound by something, the Lord says, be loosed. Loose. 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 Devil, I command you in Jesus' name, take your hands off of God's people. Take your hands off their minds. Take your hands off their person. Take your hands off of them. Loose them. Loose them. Loose. 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 Loose them. And let them go. If you're here today and you need freedom, you need to be loosed, raise your hand with mine and say, Pastor R, that's me. I don't care if you've been saved 80 years. Raise your hand with mine right now. Say, Pastor R, something has me bound. Just raise your hand with mine. Be honest right now. That's the only way God can help you. You're sitting there and not being honest. Listen, God can't help you. I promise you, God can't help you if you're not real with Him. I need to be free, Pastor R. I need to be free. My mind's tormented. I've been bound by depression, anxiety, fear. I've been bound by my past. I failed. I've struggled. I want to go forward, but the enemy keeps bringing my past up to me. He keeps bringing me my inadequacies up to me. I'm bound by anger. Lord, I'm angry. I'm mad at people. I'm furious. God's getting ready to loose you from anger. I've been hurt. I've been hurt, Pastor. I've been real. I've been hurt by people. I've been hurt by things. But today the Lord says, loose him. Loose her. And let her go. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask one more time because there's a lot of people right here now today not being honest. God knows who you are. You may never raise your hand, but God knows who you are. And He's pointing His finger right now on your heart. And you feel that? That heaviness on your heart, that's the Holy Spirit. I've got issues, Pastor, and I need to be loose from them, free from them. Raise your hand, keep them hand, keep them up in the air. I'm going to be real, Pastor R, because my day has come. This is my day. 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 This is your day. This is your day. This is your day. This is your day that the Lord has made. On the count of three, I want those that raise their hand. If you want freedom, if you want to be loosed, you want to be free in your mind and your spirit right now. Free. You need a miracle in your life. You need a breakthrough in your life.